John chapter 10, and we'll read the first 14 verses. So that's John chapter 10. I'm beginning to read at verse 1. Right then, let's hear God's word. This is his infallible word. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catches them, and scatters the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. And so is God's holy word. I'd like us today, this morning, this evening, to think about an hour. This morning I would like us to think about, this is our hour. This evening to think that this is his hour. And then just for a few moments round the table to think about, this is the last hour. So we're thinking about an hour. And we read about that hour in John chapter 5 and verse 28. Verse 25 says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is. The hour is now is, and now the hour is here. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of Man, and they that hear shall live. This is our hour. And in verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And that's his hour. Verse 25 is our hour, because the hour is now come. But verse 28 doesn't say the hour is come, but the hour is coming, and that speaks of his hour. So this is our hour. John 25, I've just read, the hour is coming, and now is. And then again in John chapter 10, and verse 10, it tells us there that he has come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. So we look at the cause of this is our hour. Why is it our hour? What made it our hour? Well, John chapter 10 and verse 10 tells us why it's our hour. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And if we think about the cause of this, we must also think about the result. So what is the result of this is our hour? And we find that in John chapter 12 and verse 20. Verse 20 to 23, John 12. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. And again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus, and Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. The cause is that Christ has come, and the result is that we should see Jesus. Jesus answered and said, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. This is our hour. The scripture reminds us that this is our hour. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, For he said, I have heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. Again, it tells us there where the Lord is saying, he said it 3-4 times. He said it in the Psalms, and he says it also in Revelation, but he says it here in Hebrews chapter 3. And what does he say? He says, Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your hearts. Before, as the Holy Ghost said, Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation of the day of temptation in the wilderness. Dear friends, this is our hour. And I ask the question, is this your desire this morning, that we might see Jesus? There'll be people in the church this morning in many parts of the world who's just a habit. They've been brought up to go to church, and it's the right thing to do. We should be there. But our desire for coming to church is not so much to fellowship one with another, although it's good to do, but it's to see Jesus. Peter tells us at the end of his epistle that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of him. And there's only one way that we can grow in grace, and that's by reading his word, this most infallible word. And the question I ask you this morning, and the question I ask myself is, this my desire this morning. I'm standing in a pulpit and I'm seeking to preach. Am I just wanting to say good things? Am I here to entertain you? I'm here this morning, God willing, to preach Christ. Because without the Lord Jesus Christ, then we are lost. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God only had one Son, and God could only give one Son. And not only one Son could come and take the punishment for those who have sinned against God. So I ask you again this morning, is this your desire? A desire to see Jesus? Notice these four things in John chapter 12. Let me just read these four verses again. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. And again Andrew and Philip telleth Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come, the Son of Man should be glorified. We want to notice four things concerning these Greeks. And the first thing we will notice, that they were in the right place. Look at verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. We notice here that they were in the right place. A place of worship. A place where the word of God would have been read. You're not going to find Christ in a supermarket. You're not going to find Christ in a football ground. And these places will be packed today. Men and women and young people going about their daily business. They won't find Christ there. Jesus says where two or three of his people are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst. He doesn't say where two or three are gathered together, there am I in their midst. Because churches will be full, and so-called churches will be full. But he doesn't say he's going to be in their midst, but he says where two or three are gathered in his name, there am I in the midst. And we believe that in this church here, in Market Street, in Hailsham, that when we meet together, it's not just to have fellowship together, but it's to be in his name. Christ is the essential one. Christ tells us, as he told my wife and I in the car this morning, it came to our mind, that without me, you can do nothing. So they were found in the right place. And many people this morning will be found in the right place because they'll be found in a fellowship where Christ is adored and loved. And where the Bible is opened and read and preached from. We have to be in the right place. Secondly, notice that they came to the right persons. Therefore, the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and Andrew and Philip telleth Jesus. They came to the right persons. You won't find Christ from a priest. You won't find Christ from that man that stands on a balcony in Rome. You'll only find Christ where those who love the Lord Jesus Christ open the Bible and preach from the Bible and tell you that without him we can do nothing, that Christ is the only way of salvation, that salvation is found in no others, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. We must come to the right persons, those who know the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are disciples. a lot of people go on the, to the internet, I suppose. I don't have the internet, so I don't know nothing about it, but I hear that there are many so-called preachers on the internet that call upon people to send them money, and then they'll pray for them, and if you're poor, then you'll become rich, and a prosperity gospel, a health gospel. Why are you sick? It's because you don't have enough faith. If you come to our church, we'll show you how to have that faith. My friends, that's not true. You must come to the right people. You must come to those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Saviour. And then we can witness. So they were not only in the right place and they came to the right persons, they made the right request. Sir, we would see Jesus. Oh, I've been coming to your church for so many years. Can I become a member? I like this church because it's nice and happy and friendly. Can I become a member? They made the right request. John chapter 12, verse 21. I've just quoted it. Sir, we would see Jesus. As I said earlier on, is this your desire? Have you made this morning before we left our home, made the right request? We're going to church. So what was your request? Surely it should be. And I'm not lifting myself up. Because not every time when I leave the house on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night, is that my request that we see Jesus? Sometimes I say, I hope the preacher preaches well. This morning I pray that I hope I preach well. I preach Christ. But we have to make the right request. I'm coming to church this morning and I want to meet with my blessed Saviour. He who loved me and gave himself for me. It's not just a case of sitting in a pew and singing hymns which we love. It's concentrating on the heavenly beings, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what brings us joy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. But he doesn't just say that you might have life, but that you might have it more abundantly, that you might enjoy it. Are you enjoying life? No matter what's happening to us, are you enjoying life, that eternal life that Christ has given us? That life that no one can take from us. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. And as I said in my prayer, Paul mentioned two different things that would try to separate us. One of them was the spiritual things. And the other was the physical. But Jesus says nothing. And Paul says it through Jesus. Nothing can separate us. And Jesus himself says, nothing can pluck them out of my hand. And nothing can pluck them out of my Father's hand. And there we are, doubly sure and doubly secure. We will reach our goal. Because Jesus Christ says, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We will reach our goal. Nothing can stop us. Not even that last great enemy, death. In fact, death ushers us into our coronation, where we will receive the crown of righteousness that has been laid by for all those who love the Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder Paul says rejoice. And again I say rejoice. We have something to rejoice for. The Christian has everything to rejoice for, even in the midst of our troubles. Because the Bible says, if you've got a trouble, cast it on the Lord, and He'll sustain you. So notice that they not only went to the right place and to the right persons and they made the right request, but they received the right answer. Verse 23, and Jesus answered them, they would have been there, saying, the hour is come, the Son of Man should be glorified. He didn't reject them, but He welcomed them. And we can see in John chapter 6, and verse 37 to 40, this is the answer that they received. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Sir, we would see Jesus. And Jesus said, if you come to me, I won't say no. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all that he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That was the request. We would see Jesus, and here was the answer. You come to me, and I will not cast you out. You come to me, and I will raise you up at the last day. That's what we read about in John chapter 5 and verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear my voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Sir, we would see Jesus. And we see here his two disciples took them to see Jesus, and this was Jesus' answer. I'll raise you up on the last day because you believe in me. This is our hour. And if you look at your watch or you look at the clock, you'll know this, that the clock is ticking. The clock is ticking. The second hand is going round, causing the minute hand to go round, which in turn causes the hour hand to go round and to leave the 11th hour and to strike his hour, which we find in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, that's everyone, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on his left hand. The minute the second hand is going round, and it causes the minute hand to go round, and that causes the hour hand to go round, and eventually it comes and leaves the 11th hour, and this is the 11th hour. This is the day that the Lord has given us to repent of our sins. This is the day that the Lord has given us that we might come to know him. And then when the minute hand and the second hand and the hour hand are at 12, all is at an end. Night cometh, Jesus says in John chapter 9, verse 4. Night cometh when no man can work. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear my voice, God says, what a wonderful God he is. He hasn't rejected us. He hasn't turned his back on us. We have done similar to him. What a wonderful God we worship, that he is concerned for our salvation. He's concerned where we spend eternity. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit spent eternity together, and Jesus was his Father's daily delight. They were face to face, and the Father looked at the Son, and the Son looked at the Father, and there was complete joy. And yet, the same Father and this same Son desire that those who they have been created in his image should spend eternity with him. Are you spending eternity with God? There's only one way you can say yes. And that I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And that Jesus Christ has taken my sin upon him while he was on the cross. My sin the Father took and imputed to him. And his righteousness the Father took and imputed to me. And to all who trust in him. Oh, my friends. We're not playing a game this morning. These are serious matters. Eternity never has an end. Hell will never diminish. Hell will never be extinct. Hell will never finish. Hell is there for all eternity, and there will be souls and lives in hell. Jesus tells us about it. He tells us about the rich man and the poor man. He gives us an illustration of what hell is like. This is not the apostles' view of hell. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit inspired them to write. That hell is a terrible place where there will be unending pain and anguish, unending darkness, unending places where they can say the worm never dies and the fire never extinguishes. But God himself has sent his Son that men and women should not spend eternity with that fallen angel, Satan himself, who wanted to be higher than God and was cast out of heaven. And his day, his hour is coming. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ's hour is coming. And so is Satan's hour coming. He is not a funny little man dressed in red with a long tail and horns on his head. He's not that. He is a fallen angel. He was a lovely angel when he was created. And yet the Bible tells us there in Isaiah that he wanted to be higher than God. He was not prepared to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. He wanted to be in charge. He won't even be in charge of hell, because he'll be one of the prisoners in hell. But we're not thinking about that this morning. We're thinking about the way of salvation. We're looking upwards. We're looking towards the heavenly places. This is our hour. And that hour must end. And if that hour is coming, the second hand, the minute hand, and the hour hand are moving round, coming to the end, what must we do? Well, we must do the same as the great men. John chapter 12, verse 20. Sir, we would see Jesus. We must come to the right place. And it's not church. The right place is not church, as though it helps. But this is the right place. We must come to the right place, and that's the infallible Word of God. God inspired by the Word of God, inspired by God the Holy Spirit. So we must come to the right place, and that's the Bible. Yes, the church is good if it's preaching Christ, but the church will never save us. The church will never give us eternal life or joy. We must come to the right place, and the right place is the Bible. And as the Greeks came to the right persons, we must come to the right persons. And again, it's not the priest, it's not the minister. Who are the right persons that we must come to? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The triune God. Three separate persons. This is who we must come to when we read the Bible, because the Bible tells us and shows us the way. It tells us what we must do, what we must say, how we must live, and what we must expect. So it's not coming to just to the right place, the Bible, it's acknowledging the right persons. God says there is salvation in no other. For there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. God said to Joseph, you'll call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Yes, the church helps, and ministers and evangelists and missionaries help, but they cannot save. I cannot save anyone. I wish I could save my children. I wish I could just say the word and they would be saved. But I can't. I do not have the power. I do not have the authority. Only Jesus can save. And thirdly, we must make the right request. And what's the right request? When we've come to the right place, the Bible, when we've come to the right persons, the triune God, what's the right request? Well, it's the same request that Peter made when he began to sink, when he was walking towards Jesus. He said, Lord, save me. He was sinking, and he said, save me. When we come to the Bible, and when we meet with the triune God, our request must be this: Lord, save me. Not save us. Not save them. But first and foremost, Lord, save me. And we will receive the right answer. Matthew chapter 25, verse 34. Enter into the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Oh, my friend, time has run out. I've not got time to finish it. But let me just say these three things, which I believe are important, and I finish with this. That coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and to repent of our sin is a command. A command. Listen to what the Bible says. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. To repent is a command. It's our duty to repent. God has commanded it. Yes, there's a command. There's also an invitation. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11:28, come unto me, So God the Father commands that we repent. And Jesus Christ says, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden. And the promise comes from the Father and from the Son. And that's in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. And here's the promise. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You have to have the Holy Ghost. You have to have the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the Holy Ghost within your heart, then you're not saved. Because Jesus said that Him and the Father will send the Holy Spirit, and He will come and dwell with us and dwell in us, and He will reveal the truth to us. You don't know the truth if you don't have the Holy Spirit. We don't have the intellect to interpret the Scriptures. You can read and read and read till the end of your life, and you'll never interpret the Scriptures with your own intelligence. I don't care if you're a doctor, I don't care if you're a professor, I don't care what you are. If you don't have the Holy Spirit given by the Father and the Son, then you're not a Christian, and you will never ever know the truth. And Jesus said it's the truth that sets us free. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, then you're bound to your sin. You're still in your sin, as Paul says, that when we were sinners, when we were enemies, when we were without strength, Christ died for us. So there's a command to repent. There's the invitation to come. And there's the promise that you will receive. Well, I'll finish there. Time's gone. Let's pray.